Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you have joined us today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to be talking about further today, as I have called the title of this broadcast, the media silence on the election suits. A number of suits have been filed across America by the President Trump organization and his reelection campaign committee, as well as individuals like Sidney Powell has filed on behalf of We the People. We're going to be talking about that further with the examination of some of these suits and what is taking place with those. They filed suits in the courts for this election fraud. But, ladies and gentlemen, one of the people that I think is, I call it the go-to person that can answer a lot of the questions on this, Ken Timmerman. Ken has written a book published before this election fraud took place, but he talked about the election heist in his very popular bestseller list book. Ken is with us today. Ken, let me give you, our listeners, a little background before Ken comes on the mic and we have a conversation about this election fraud and what's taking place. Ken is the president and CEO of the Foundations for Democracy. Ken served on the National Security and Foreign Policy Advisory Board for the Trump presidential election in 2016. Ken is a Nobel Peace Prize nominee in 2016. Ken, from 2004 to 2011, was the lead outside investigator for the consortium of law firms representing the families for 9/11 victims. As a young reporter in 1982, Ken was taken hostage by the Palestinian fighters in West Beirut. It was then that Ken got saved. He said yes to Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Ken is the author, as I said, of the bestseller book, The Election Heist. Ken, it's a delight to have you on board with us today. And I know that you're familiar with all of these cases that's taking place and those individuals that have filed the suits. I want us to talk about some of those things today, but welcome to Let's Face the Issues, today's broadcast.
Thanks for having me on, Pastor. It's always a great pleasure to be with you.
It's a delight to have you with us today. Ken, tell our listeners of your insight that led you to the best-selling book, The Election Heist. What was your insight on that? What was the, how would you say, the essence of why the book and what you said in the book and how it correlates with what is taking place today?
Well, the basic idea behind the book is that the Democrats, knowing that they cannot win the election this November, and remember the book was published in August, so it was well ahead of time, written by last Christmas, the premise is that they can't win the election, so they need to flip what I call the secret switch. And the secret switch is an election manipulation algorithm. They hack into the election systems with help from people inside the company. It's Dominion Voting Systems, the company that we talk about here. I call it Dominant Voting Systems. They switch a certain number of votes in the key swing states. Now, that's exactly what's happened here. And you've been talking about these lawsuits filed by Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood in Georgia and Michigan. I've been reading through them over the Thanksgiving holiday, and they are incredibly detailed. And it's just amazing, Pastor, to see how this mirrors exactly what I put in the book. And what I put in the book came from several years of study of the vulnerabilities of the election voting machines, the electronic voting machines, but also, I got to say this, of the patterns of Democrat behavior. And what I saw this as a candidate in Maryland. I was the Republican nominee for Congress in the 8th District in Maryland in 2012. And I saw election fraud from top to bottom. It was just they didn't need to do it, and yet they did it. We have down here in Florida, everybody knows what the snowbirds are, and they come on down here, you know, from New Year's to tax day. And many of them come and vote two times. They'll vote in their home state, whether it's New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Connecticut, whatever, and then they'll vote absentee down here or vice versa. But they'll vote twice in two different states. Nobody tells them to do it. They just do it. And I had a column recently that explained this and said, you know, it's as if the cheating was in the DNA of Democrats. They feel it's not only justified to do it, but they feel virtuous when they cheat.
I believe you're exactly right. The cheating's in the DNA. I believe that's precisely what we can understand as a result of what we have seen. With the election fraud, and there can't be any called anything less than that, I have called it treason. I don't know about you and how you would identify it, but I believe that it reaches that level of simply being treason, a treasonous act. And before we get into the nuts and bolts, and I call it the nitty-gritty of some of these suits and what the claims are being made, what do you think should be the end result? Let's just say that all of the fast-track this, it's all done and said. President Trump is sworn in January 2021. What do you think should happen? Should it just be a rap on the knuckles? Should it be shame on you? This is not going to happen again. What should take place with those that will be found responsible for this voter fraud and what has taken place? How should we respond to it? What should take place with that, in your opinion?
Well, you know, I explained this a bit in the election heist. These are felonies. All these different forms of voter fraud, election of fraud, fraud by election officials. We've seen that as well. Fraud by election officials in Michigan in particular, but also in Georgia, where the election officials are instructing the volunteers who, by the way, they're not really volunteers. They're paid to work at the polls and operate mm-hmm. the machines. They're instructing them how to commit fraud. So these are all written into our criminal code. In many cases, they're third-degree felonies, and they carry a minimum jail sentence of between 2 to 5 years. In some cases, it's 10 years in jail. So I think there ought to be many, many people who are prosecuted for conducting election fraud. And I would really like to see the Justice Department or perhaps a special prosecutor try to figure out if this was a coordinated effort, as Rudy Giuliani said recently when he went to Gettysburg, right, the day before Thanksgiving, for this hearing before the Pennsylvania legislator. Rudy Giuliani said this was a coordinated effort. It was a centralized effort because the same patterns emerge in the four key swing states, in Wisconsin, in Georgia, in Michigan, and in Pennsylvania. I believe also in Nevada and Arizona. So I'd like to see prosecutions. I really would.
I am in full agreement that that's the only way that it would be assured that it will not take place in the future if full-fledged prosecutions were to take place. It is a sad commentary that we find that somehow, some way, there's a mindset that voter fraud is not bad, and if you vote twice, that's not bad. If you do ballot harvesting, that's not bad. And it's just one of those things that takes place. And the mindset, I think, with many people is that no elections are fraudulent anyway, so why worry about it? Ken, let's just take state by state for a moment. For the balance of this broadcast and examine some of the things. Bring us up to date on what's taking place in Pennsylvania. Then we'll go to Wisconsin and Georgia and others. But what's taking place in Pennsylvania? What is the status of the election for the president in the state of Pennsylvania at this moment?
Well, most people don't realize this because the national media will not tell you what's going on, but a federal court on Wednesday halted the certification of the vote. So the vote in Pennsylvania is not going to be certified. It will not be turned over to the legislature to determine the electors, to the electoral college. They need to do more work to find out if there were really 700 ballots that appeared out of nowhere, 700,000 ballots that appeared out of nowhere, as Rudy Giuliani and his team have been saying, or whether everything was on the up and up. So Pennsylvania has been halted. I think that is good news because I watched that hearing with Giuliani in Gettysburg, and I thought he got a very receptive hearing by the Republican legislators. And Jenna Ellis, who works with Giuliani, told them, look, she reminded them, this is your constitutional authority and responsibility to determine the electors and to look into these allegations of election fraud. You do not have to accept the false results. So Pennsylvania is up for grabs. Michigan is also up to grabs. Their vote was certified a couple days before Thanksgiving, but it is now being subject to multiple lawsuits, including by Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood. They filed theirs on just the night before Thanksgiving, late at night. And they have numerous, numerous new witnesses who are testifying to specific acts of fraud involving hundreds of thousands of votes. In other words, several times the number of votes to change the result of the election. By the way, let's just be clear. President Trump today has 234 undisputed electoral votes. Joe Biden has 227. If Pennsylvania, which has 20, and Michigan, which has 16, go to President Trump, he wins the election. He has just been reelected president. So those two states alone would give Donald Trump a second term.
Hello? 1,823,148 absentee mail-in ballots. But when Pennsylvania counted them, they had grown. There was 2.5 million mail-in ballots that they counted. When they mailed out, 1,823,148. Just on... They had more ballots to count than they even mailed out in the state of Pennsylvania. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I've got two things I wanted to say. The fair weather friends such as Chris Christie, this kind of, when you're in a position like Trump, it exposes the fair weather friends. The next thing is there's two possible, the two possible scenarios with this, how this plays out. The Supreme Court declares the vote counts invalid in all the battleground states and the legal votes are overwhelming for Trump. Scenario number two, Trump's lawsuits do not fail. Biden is sworn in as the 46th president, and then after that, Trump's lawyers find new evidence that proves fraudulent voting. So what would happen there? Would Biden be impeached or what?
Ken, would you respond to that? That's a good question.
You know, that is a great question, and I don't know what the Constitution holds on that, but to be impeached, it would have to start in the House of Representatives. As of today, it looks like Nancy Pelosi will have a majority in the House, nine votes, maybe one or two fewer. So it will be a very, very slim majority, but you would have to have a majority ask for impeachment proceedings, which I suppose would be all the Republicans plus 9 or 10 Democrats. Democrats tend to hang together a lot better than Republicans do, I hate to say. So I think it's a bit of a stretch. I don't think you're going to find, gosh, I really hate to say this, but I don't think you're going to find patriotic Democrats who would stand up for the truth against their party.
I believe that. Absolutely. Joseph, thank you so much for your insight and for your call. Ken, I'm looking at an article that also talks about Pennsylvania having 47 USB cards that just vanished, 47 of them. And nobody knows where they are. They don't know if they've been destroyed, if they've just disappeared. What knowledge do you have on that?
This is one of so many anomalies, things that never should have happened that happened in this election. You have, let me just shift to Georgia just for a second, Eric Coomer. And if you don't know that name, you should know it. Eric Coomer, C-O-O-M-E-R. He is the guy at Dominion Voting Systems who designed the software, who testifies regularly when they try to get it certified, and who has gone missing since the day after the election. Where is Eric Coomer? Nobody seems to know. He is the one who was on that Antifa call in September where he said, oh, don't worry about Donald Trump. We've taken care of it. He's not going to be reelected president. It's Eric from Dominion. In my book, I have a guy named Eric Figueroa, who is the one who sends the last-minute software updates to the counties to flip the secret switch. So Eric Coomer was called into Georgia not long before the election in November, saying, well, we found a glitch in the software. And he was called in by the Secretary of State. This is on the public record. Called in by the Secretary of State. He said, we found a glitch in the software that miscounts the votes. So we got to have to do a last-minute patch. And it's a very, very minor thing. So it does not need to be recertified. And this is a term that our listeners really do need to become acquainted with. The voting machines and the software are certified before every election by demonstrating that they're accurate in front of Democrats and Republicans, representatives from both parties, as well as election officials. And they watch a mini vote take place and a mini vote place take count. And they say, okay, this is absolutely accurate. We see no anomalies whatsoever. We sign our names on this certificate. We certify that the election machines and the counting software are good. They're good to go. They're accurate. Well, Eric Coomer said, you don't need to do that after my last minute patch. That's what I think we're going to find out as we go forward in the investigation in Michigan, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, and probably also Wisconsin and Arizona.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is still troubling and most not aware of in Georgia, in Fulton County, you know, they claimed that a water main burst, and as a result of that, they had shut down counting. It was about 9:30, 10 o'clock that night. But yet, the next morning, it was evidence that around 1 o'clock, between 1 and 3 o'clock, several hundred thousand ballots were added to the system. Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yes. Wasn't that convenient? And by the way, there was a local reporter who put in a Freedom of Information Act request to the football stadium, which is where this is all taking place, right? He said, well, were there any did you have any work orders to fix a water main break there on the night of the election? There were several texts that were shown, you know, released as a result of this. And no, there was no water main break. There was no plumber called in. It was a leaking toilet. And I think somebody went up there and jiggled the handle. But that was used, and this is important, that was used as an excuse to get the election workers, the election observers, especially the Republicans, out of the building. And as you say, at 1 o'clock in the morning, they had this huge surge in ballots that was mysteriously counted with no observers present, and all of them went for Biden.
That's a strange phenomena. And in fact, the fraud is so overwhelmingly voluminous that I believe they thought that they could get away with it and just went overboard. And I believe, Ken, it's my impression that they recognized that the Trump vote would be so overwhelming that caused the need to go in with several of the patches, as they called it, that they were simply infusing a greater number of votes as they saw the overwhelming number of votes for President Trump coming in. In fact, part of the suit from Sidney Powell, I've got an article that lists 30 major things. The Sidney Powell suit makes 30 allegations in bid to invalidate the Georgia election, and it talks about the software manipulation. This software system, as I understand it, Ken, and you can correct me if I have misunderstood it, this software has been used in dictatorship nations, Iran, Venezuela, etc., China. This article says the software used by the Dominion machines was accessed by agents of malicious actors such as China, Iran, and Iran in order to monitor and manipulate elections, including the 2020 election. And it goes on to talk about those that she has brought in to validate by affidavit and by personal testimony of these machines, and they were set up for the purpose of overthrowing elections in other countries and were used in American election process. Can you speak to that to give a little clarity for our listeners of what this is about and the reality of that and the possibility of that?
Sure. First thing to understand is that Sidney Powell has done her homework here. She has brought in dozens of experts, of eyewitnesses, people with hard evidence. You know, the Democrats and their friends in the media have been saying now for the past 3 weeks, there's no evidence of voter fraud. Every time somebody puts a link, by the way, to Sidney Powell's lawsuit, Twitter blocks the link, and they say this is a dangerous site. You will be hacked if you go to her website to download or look at the actual complaint in Georgia and in Michigan. This gets very complicated when you look at the technology of how elections are conducted. That's why I wrote my book, The Election Heist, to make it kind of simpler for you to understand, so you can see people actually doing these things rather than having to read about it. But what she does, she's got experts who explain, number one, that the software originated in Venezuela in the 2000s, and it was there specifically to help Hugo Chavez. That's why it was developed. And the money came from the Venezuelan government. After that, Dominion bought out a piece of it, and so Dominion systems are based on that original Venezuelan software, which has been used, again, to hack elections or to flip the switch in elections in Venezuela, the Philippines, and other countries. President Trump mentioned to reporters today that Canada, where Dominion is based, it's a foreign company, Canada will not use Dominion systems. They originally had contracted with them, but now they have paper ballots and they count those paper ballots by hand instead of using Dominion systems because they believe they are too easily hacked. So what Sidney Powell does is that she brings experts to the table, people who have studied the machines themselves, people who have studied the software. She's got somebody who was a security officer working directly for Chavez in Venezuela, who was an eyewitness, who was in the room where the votes would come in on election night. And he watched them personally be switched in front of his eyes so Chavez would win these elections. She's got a Princeton mathematician, a guy named Dr. Andrew Apple, who talks about how in Georgia, these ballot marking devices would produce a paper ballot for the voter. Most voters wouldn't look at it before they turned it in. But because of the way the machines were set up, they could manipulate that ballot before it dropped into the drop box. And so you could never tell whether, what the voter's original intent. In other words, they could have manipulated it to become a Biden ballot, even though it was cast by a Trump voter. So we're learning all kinds of things that show just how corrupt this election was, and people at all levels of the hierarchy of the electoral system, from secretaries of state to trainers at these these vote counting places, to poll watchers, to the Democrats who were there as representatives of their party and harassing Republican poll watchers in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. I mean, extraordinary. And again and again and again, the weight of this evidence, Pastor, is just so overwhelming. Yes, I can imagine the courts rejecting it, but shame on them if they do.
Ken, let's take a moment. You touched on your book, The Election Heist. I believe it is a good read that others need to have. Explain to our listeners how they can get a copy of that book and how they can reach you on it.
Go to my website, KenTimmerman.com. It's just my name, KenTimmerman.com. There's information on the book, a link to Amazon, which is the easiest place to get it. And then you'll find some videos that I've done with Newsmax and others. There's a short one right up on the front page of the website, KenTimmerman.com. And you down at the bottom, you'll see a link to all my other articles and videos as well. So there's lots of material there. You can go up and down that page and read my analysis and my information on what's actually happening in these swing states during the recounts.
Ken, are you familiar with anything about the connectivity with Dianne Feinstein's husband and or the Obama family or the Biden family or other Democratic players in the partial ownership of Dominion and or any of the software that's been used?
Yes. Mr. Bloom, who's the husband of Dianne Feinstein, is a major stockholder in one of these companies. I think it's the British holding company that owns parts of Smartmatic through various investment entities he controls. I think he holds something like 60% of it. You know that Nancy Pelosi sent one of her staffers to go work for them just before the elections. The Secretary of State in Georgia, apparently, he has ties, including financial ties, to Dominion, I believe, through some of his staffers. It's unfortunately very, you know, it's pretty extensive. And now we learn, so the chairman of Smartmatic, which is one of the software makers, was a guy named Mark Mollick Brown. Well, he was the investment partner with George Soros. After he was outed and people like me and others were talking about him as being the chairman of their board, Smartmatic scrubbed its website around the 11th of November. I captured it. And they removed Mollick Brown, the George Soros partner, and replaced him with a retired Coast Guard admiral named Peter Neffinger, who they thought would be, you know, he's a pretty legitimate guy and nobody can complain about him. A week after they put him up as their board chairman, he gets appointed to the Biden transition team. I mean, they're not even worried that anybody will pick up on this stuff and see the direct relationships.
It is an open, blatant, in-your-face, major fraud that has been perpetrated. Ken, we've got about 15 seconds on the broadcast. Just tuck this in. This is from attorney that filed the suit, Sidney Powell, says the vote tallies produced by the Dominion machines can be manipulated by inputting a malicious code that, with just 7 minutes along with the voting machine, and according to the person, the Princeton professor, said in 7 minutes' time it can manipulate the vote of hundreds of thousands of votes. So we need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, the dangers of it. Ken, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
2021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.